Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You happy with that pick? Oh, Tampa taking Winfield.
Antoine Winfield going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If I'm being honest with you, Gene, that's the guy that I wanted to see the Bears draft. But, well, you know, we went after a tight end. You got to draft a tight end, Gene, especially when you're paying Jimmy freaking Graham $8 million a year. That's the smart pick.
Well, I mean,
yeah, I'm real happy with the pick.
So he must
real,
be smart.
Yeah, real happy with the pick. Real happy with the pick.
Especially well, when you have wide receivers that could step in too. I mean,
Welcome to the Sports Bar pick. After Hours, round two, NFL Draft Edition. Mike Danger here in the home studio. Gene Battaglia over there. Just a couple guys on the west side of Rochester in our little Sports Bar speakeasy here, talking some NFL football, some NFL draft. And the Buffalo Bills set to be on the clock here in just a few short moments. And I'm hearing right now with the 46th pick overall that the Broncos are actually going to be taking a guy that we've spent a lot of time talking about for the Buffalo Bills. That would be Penn State wide receiver K.J. Hamler.
All right. So if the Bills are going to go wide receiver, that leaves, what, Claypool and the receiver from Baylor, basically, right? That those would be the two top choices. So at 47, can one of those two receivers slip to 54?
Take a second and look what the Broncos have done. Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and KJ Hamler. Whoa, that's a wide receiver. That's a wide receiving core right there. That's exciting. If you're now, who's throwing them the football?
Yeah.
Maybe you're less enthusiastic, but those three players in the same wide receiving core, and Jerry Jeudy might be the best route runner we've ever seen. I had a feeling Ruggs would go to the Raiders first because of the Raiders' propensity to draft the speediest guy out there. But, you know, to my estimation, Jeudy might be one of the greatest route runners of all time.
Can I just compliment Tampa Bay? I mean, for them to get Winfield in round two, a guy many thought that would go in round one, and they got Wirfs, who some people had projected going to the Giants at number four overall. So Tampa, for all they've done in this offseason, you're beginning to turn on them a little bit here?
No, Tampa. Tampa's having a nice draft. And am I beginning to turn on them? Interesting. Yeah, Wirfs helps out that offensive line and protection for Brady. I gotta think that they're still, I still think it's New Orleans division to lose, but Tampa is making the right moves, and I love the addition of Winfield. That's honestly, I'm envious. The Bears picking just a couple picks before Tampa Bay right there, and that was who I was hoping the Bears would scoop up, just because the raw talent is there. It's safety and the bloodline that we're very familiar with here in Western New York with Antoine Winfield starting his career in Buffalo. So, the draft continues here. I'm a little bummed to see Hamler go to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. I was really, really dialed in on the idea that Hamler would be just such a great addition for the Buffalo Bills. And I think him going in the second round shows the kind of talent that he's going to be in the NFL. And I don't think a lot of people had Hamler going that high in some of their mock drafts, but Hamler going to the Broncos, a nice pickup, another nice addition to their wide receiving core. Now, whether or not Drew Luck can get them the football, a whole nother story.
Well, I don't know. I've been watching these highlights. So the three highlights I show, they're all busted coverages here so far. So, I mean, you might be upset about Hamler not going. What's going on in the Pegula yacht right now? I mean, that was probably the guy he wanted, right? I would think if he's
the super yacht.
Yeah,
they got the blueprint from Jerry.
Does Terry Pegula even know the draft is tonight?
Okay, all right. Now, come on, yeah, a little unfair, right?
Well, if he's calling the shots, he'd be upset, right?
Yeah. Now, so. All right. We're at pick 47 now. The Falcons about to make their selection here. Round two of the NFL draft. And as of right now, the Bills still standing pat at 54. We'll have that pick and Gino's reaction to that pick, which is really worth more than anything here in the sports bar after hours. While we have a second, Gene, your thoughts on round one of the NFL draft last night. There was one specific pick that I think made everybody kind of scratch their head a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Wow. Well, let's start there. I mean, Jordan Love going to Green Bay. Yeah, the parallels are there. Everything is there. What's different about this was a Green Bay team that actually got to the NFC Championship game. And I don't think that that Aaron Rodgers has reached the downside of his career. In other words, I think he's at that plateau, but to me, that is as shocking as anything that the Packers are looking ahead. And if by the way, I don't have a problem with it. And here's why. If you think that Jordan Love can be a franchise quarterback, then you go get him, okay? Because Aaron Rodgers at 35, could he play 16 games? Might he get worn down? You don't need to put in Jordan Love this year. You don't need to put him in next year. So to me, it's history repeating itself in Green Bay. What a bold move. And by the way, it puts Aaron Rodgers on the clock right now. That divorce with Mike McCarthy, maybe it was as much about Rodgers as anything now that the new regime came in and said, you know what, maybe we should start looking toward the future.
I think that's crazy. All right, look. I joke all the time with you, Gino, that, you know, I just don't know why Aaron Rodgers doesn't get traded, because we know what kind of a guy he is off the field. We know what kind of a guy he is in the locker room. You know, why doesn't he just retire? This Chicago Bears fan would like to see nothing more than Aaron Rodgers retire. But the idea that you think you have a better chance of winning in 3 years with Jordan Love than you do right now with Aaron Rodgers, to me, is insanity. And there's no way they're getting out from that Rodgers deal. There's too much dead money, attached to moving on from Rodgers. So, you know, the initial reaction of, well, Rodgers is going to want to get traded, or they're going to move on from Rodgers. They're not moving on from Rodgers. Rodgers is their guy for at least another 2 years. Now, Jordan Love can sit behind Rodgers for those 2 years and, you know, learn the way Rodgers did. And I have a feeling Rodgers will probably be about as good a mentor as Favre was to Rodgers. It's going to be some tough love, and, you know, I would imagine some animosity there in Green Bay with Rodgers, being expected to pass the torch eventually to Jordan Love. And furthermore, I don't know that Jordan Love is the kind of quarterback that can be what Aaron Rodgers became. I really don't know that I mean, Rodgers had a much better profile coming out of college, and it was a surprise to everybody when Rodgers slid the way he did in the first round. You didn't feel that way about Jordan Love. Jordan Love just kind of all of a sudden found himself being a first-round prospect when really 6 months ago, 3 months ago, not a lot of us knew who he was.
Well, and this is the year that is just so strange here with everything going on. Tagovailoa going to Miami at number five. Miami never had the face-to-face meeting. They had to, like, try to cram it in. And so if Tagovailoa had the workouts with every individual team, you see where I'm going with this. I mean, Tagovailoa, based on what he did in college, sure, you could say he's a top 10 pick. But if you actually work these guys out individually, might it be different? And I wonder how much homework Green Bay did on Jordan Love going into this. Was that did they do their homework, or is this based on gut? I mean, that's the fascinating thing about this draft is that so much of this the process was taken out for all these teams. So, but to your point about Aaron Rodgers, we gave Ben Roethlisberger so much crap 2 years ago when Mason Rudolph got picked. Do you remember that? Rudolph going in the third round, and many people had him going in the first round. And you figure for Pittsburgh, hey, that's great value. Pick up a quarterback. Well, now we can kind of say, that didn't exactly work out. But do you remember what Roethlisberger said at the time? He was pissed. He was angry that, wait a second, we should have drafted somebody that can help us win now. So for Packer fans that are conflicted, we had back in January, which seems like 10 years ago, who hosts on her sister station on Milwaukee, Bart Winkler. I don't know if you caught this, Danger, but Bart Winkler, he's pissed. It's like, yeah, the morning show host in Milwaukee. It seems like Packer Nation, they're not conflicted. They're pretty like, wait, what do we need Jordan Love for? We were one win away from the Super Bowl. That is not going to help us get back.
Well, that pick questionable. And by the way, here early in the second round, just something that I jotted down as a note. So Bill Belichick to go off the board and take Kyle Duggar from what school? Lenore Ryan? Lenore Ryan. Such a Belichick type of pick. Like, falls in love with a guy that not a lot of people had heard of, but, you know, playing at a different level. Lenore Ryan. And getting the safety, and getting Duggar, the safety there, just as Belichick can be there with his first pick of the NFL draft.
Well, these picks are flying right by here now. So Seattle is on the clock at 48, followed by the Steelers, and then your Bears at 50. Ooh, we get to get your reaction to another Bears pick. How are they going to screw this one up?
I'm
there,
done. Bro? I'm just going to start drinking now. I mean, you know, I still can't believe. Like, okay, you got Komet, you got the guy from, you know, Notre Dame, and fine. You need a tight end. You didn't get any production out of the position last year. It's fine. I'm more concerned with why, if that was your plan, why overspend for a fossil like Jimmy Graham in the offseason? It doesn't make any sense to me unless you have some kind of, I mean, how much does it cost for Jimmy Graham to be a mentor for the rookie tight end? And how important is the tight end in Matt Nagy's offense? Is this the guy that is Komet, the kind of guy that could be a Travis Kelce? I don't know. I mean, you know, it just feels like a wasted pick there in the second round. I could be completely wrong, and he could be a stud. He had some really, really impressive games there with Notre Dame, and some pretty good numbers with Notre Dame.
And now for the Bills at 54, the pick I'm fearing here, AJ Espinenza out of Iowa, and here's why. Because what was the big catchphrase with him? Well, he's so versatile. He can play inside. He can play outside. But he wasn't good at anything. So that's a reason why he's falling. But the versatility thing, that's what I'm worried about here at 54, is that, sure, the Bills could use a player at that position, but I don't know if I want somebody who is – just kind of okay at everything. I want somebody who can kind of step in and actually contribute for Buffalo right now.
Sean McDermott's always been that guy about versatility, though, hasn't he? I mean, he loves those kind of players. And I always worry about if guys that are versatile and can play many positions, then can you play one? I mean, you know, if you're good at all of these things, can you be just good at one thing and be that much more valuable?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, to me, you're going to see somebody like Espinenza, that will not shock me, but it would actually disappoint me if the Bills actually went with him at 54, because to me, there are the guy that we've targeted this guy so long, Claypool.
Yeah.
I don't think Claypool will last till round three. Claypool is a guy with tremendous upside. Well, you swing for the fence here in round two. You can get a wide receiver that can actually contribute. The Bills, by the way, in round two, they've been pretty bad in their franchise history to the late James Harden, to go back a few years ago to Zay Jones. I mean, Fearless Price was a hit, but everything else pretty much on the wayside, in the round two as far as a wide receiver. But to me, this draft is so deep at receiver that between him, you have the receiver from Baylor, you have some good prospects out there right now for Buffalo, and to get a wide receiver that can be that number four guy, and should somebody get hurt, a Denzel Mims, a Chase Claypool, somebody like that would be good for Buffalo here at pick 54.
All right, so a couple of teams that I think actually got better immediately from making the selections that they made, if I may, Gene. It was the last pick of last night with the pick made by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
My God. I mean, you know, just what they need. The Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, hang on a second here. I'm getting a little video in my, I don't know if you could hear that or not, Gino. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
No, last night, the final pick of the night in round one, when the Kansas City Chiefs went ahead and drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, a guy that, a lot of people dub is like a better version of Brian Westbrook. Oh my God, that offense just going to outscore everybody. That's all they're going to do. They're just going to continuously outscore everybody. It's not fair. They got better, I think, immediately with that pick. That offense got better immediately with that pick. And then when you look ahead to tonight's pick, some of the picks made tonight, I really like the pick of that the Colts made in Taylor. Getting Taylor from Wisconsin, when you consider the offensive line that they have, the young offensive line that they have. I mean, the Colts offensively, between getting Pittman from USC with the second pick of the second round, and then getting Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin with the 41st pick overall in the draft, that offense got better. Phillip Rivers behind that offensive line might actually look a little bit more dangerous wearing Colts blue and white than he looked at, you know, playing for the Chargers the last few years.
Can I give you my winner from last night? I agree with you on the Chiefs, but a player that fell in the first round. Are you kidding me? Patrick Queen landed in Baltimore. I mean, is there not a player that, boy, that just fits right into the Ravens defense, and John Harbaugh just replenishing that defense right away. So I did not like to see that, because Baltimore, you know, they already have their leader on offense, and now you have a young stud at linebacker to go with a pretty good defense that is always kind of in that build mode. To me, that was a very shrewd pick by the Baltimore Ravens. And that was another one that, like, okay, where the Chiefs pick is going to keep them on top in that division. To me, the Ravens pick, that's somebody that comes in, contributes this year, and will help them in that division.
We spent some time talking about Tua earlier in the show. How about Justin Herbert going to the Chargers at 6 last night? No justice for Tyrod Taylor. None. Just none. I mean, all the talk of Tyrod Taylor being capable. You know, Tyrod Taylor may be capable, but it'll probably be for 2 to 3 games, much like it was in Cleveland before they go to the rookie.
Can I just say this? I think it's going to be a bust danger. I think that was like, you're okay, we couldn't get Tua. Let's get the next quarterback to me. That is a pick that we are in need of selling suites and jerseys and tickets and everything else, and we need some hope. And here's the quarterback that you may be familiar with in the hometown conference, the Pac-12. To me, that, no. Herbert is somebody that earlier on you're thinking this is somebody that could be a number one overall pick, and just kind of slid. And to me, actually, I thought Jordan Love would go ahead of Herbert. So to me, yeah, good luck to the Chargers. You have pretty uniforms, but I don't like that pick, actually.
All right, we're recording live during round two of the NFL Draft, the Sports Bar After Hours. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia, and Gene, bad news. One of the guys that we've been talking about incessantly, actually, is somebody that we would love to have seen in Buffalo, just scooped up by the Pittsburgh Steelers at 49 with their first pick in the NFL Draft. Chase Claypool of Notre Dame will be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Steeler Nation. You haven't had that yet. How long has it been since you haven't had a first-round pick? You didn't have one last night, and you decide to take Chase Claypool here in the second round, scooping him up with pick 49.
Brandon Bean, is he somebody who gets angry? I think he is. I mean, because the cameras are always rolling in these mock draft rooms. Does Bean pick up something and throw it across the room when he learns about that? I mean, that's the type of video I want to see. Like him, does he flip a table over? How does that all work? Like when, you know, somebody that maybe the Buffalo Bills are targeting. Oh, gosh, that's a good pick for the Steelers. Steeler fans should be very happy with that.
Yeah, I think they are going to like that that pick very much. And a guy that could play, you know, listed as a wide receiver, but really kind of like that big wide receiver slash hybrid tight end. I mean, a big target for Big Ben. Claypool to the Steelers, a great pick. I'm jealous. There's a couple of picks that have happened so far that I'm jealous of. If I'm a Bills fan, I'm upset that Claypool went before 54 to the Steelers, and I'm upset that Hamler went to the Broncos earlier in round two as well. Those are two offensive weapons that I think would have really rounded out the Bills' offense and eliminated one fewer excuse for Josh Allen in 2020.
Gosh, what is left here? Because maybe Cleveland, the offensive lineman, is somebody that is rising up. But is that an area of need? I mean, this is going to be the who's the best player, what is a need. Mims would probably fit the bill, and I think most fans will be okay with the receiver from Baylor. But at this point, Epineza, I'm telling you, that feels like the Sean McDermott pick, does it not? Somebody that we can draft and we can move all around and, you know, we can mold in our own way. To me, that actually...
Yeah, he does like his Iowa guys, doesn't he? I mean, yeah. McDermott does like his Iowa guys. So let's see. Now with pick 50, my Bears are making their selection. Gino, give me a moment here. Just, you know, talk amongst yourself.
All right, so on the television right now, they're showing, what is Matt Nagy's indoor decor there, by the way? That's
psychotic.
Some strange wallpaper. Yeah, that's some strange wallpaper he's
got. What is he trying to emulate, a beautiful mind with all the stuff on the walls? Or come on, you're not a genius. Jalen Johnson is the pick for the Bears at 50, the corner out of Utah. So the Bears beefing up their secondary a little bit with Jalen Johnson. Looks like Dallas next up on the clock as we inch closer and closer to pick 54, assuming that the Bills stay at 54, making their second round pick tonight in round two of the NFL draft.
Yeah, normally I would say, hey, trade down. But, you know, the Bills have so many picks here. And, you know, I would say stay right here, see who is available at this pick. And who would be the pick right now if I had to say? Mims. That would be somebody that can come in there and be the fourth wide receiver. So to me, that's the last of the good receivers on this run. Dallas has already taken receiver. Philadelphia has already taken receiver. Watch the Rams at 52. That's the team right now, that the Rams at 52, because they've lost some at that position here. You know, certainly with the trade of Cooks, that is somebody that that would be the one team that would be in the market for a receiver. Dallas and Philadelphia already taking care of that need earlier in this draft.
All right, so Dallas on the clock with the 51st pick, and we're hearing that the pick is in. We'll keep you updated on that. Other moves being made here in the second round, worthy of note. We mentioned Hamler and Winfield. What can we talk about? Can we hold on a second here? Can we talk about the guy that was taken by that guy, Patricia? I'll just call him. He's a slob. That's slob Patricia taking a running back with DeAndre Swift. And listen, you know, good running back. And there you go. DeAndre Swift going to the Lions earlier here in the second round. Sorry, Gene, I've never done the live show with the draft happening at the same time.
Well, I've never done I've done the live show. We started this out, I think, 2010 on ESPN Rochester doing the live, but it was always the first round. The second round, this is more like a fantasy draft here. Up and here we go, and the Cowboy pick is in, but right now on the television side, they are giving a moment of silence for Dak Prescott's brother, so that's why they've kind of paused the draft here and they've gone to break here.
How about the Cowboys going with CeeDee Lamb last night in round one? Any surprise by that, Gino? I mean, more and more, don't you see? And this is why I won't be terribly enthusiastic if the Bills do go defense with pick 54. But doesn't it seem like teams just are gearing up more and more for playmakers, and like, we're just going to score more points? You know, we're the Kansas City Chiefs. Our defense is good, but we're going to score more points than you. We're the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, defense is pretty good. Well, we're just going to score more points than you. We're going to get as many weapons as we can, as many playmakers as we can. And you see with what Denver has done in getting Hamler and getting Jerry Jeudy in round one, we're just going to try and score more points than you. Our defense is our defense. And you have a defensive-minded head coach in Vic Fangio in Denver, but you're drafting, you know, two just immense weapons for the offense in Jeudy and Hamler in rounds one and two if you're the Denver Broncos.
Well, if you don't have three good wide receivers, you're screwed. I mean, and for Dallas, the way I look at the Lamb pick, that's a good pick because what are they upgrading? They're upgrading. I mean, like Randall Cobb, he was really good 5 years ago in Green Bay. So to me, that was somebody at the end. So for Dallas to pick him up. What about that pick, though? Was Jerry on his yacht there with his son and I don't know who the woman was and everything else, though? That was a very Jerry Jones-like setting last night.
Any comment on Cliff Kingsbury's remote draft location? I mean, you know,
I want
does
to
he realize that there's
Arizona.
A lot of people? Yeah, there's a lot of people that are out of work. Are we showboating a little bit here? If you're the NFL and Jerry's on his super yacht and Kingsbury is some, you know, desert location that looks like he's fresh out of a James Bond movie.
That was That's super cool. I like if you had to pick which head coach in the NFL would I want to be, it's Kingsbury, right? That's the guy that's running the young offense. And I'm like, I never thought of Arizona being a retirement destination, but then
Gino, you say things like that, and then it makes me believe you don't really want a head coach. You want a movie star. You want a GQ cover model more than you want a head coach. Come on. No. You know who I want as a head coach? You know who I want to party with? I want to party with Vrabel. I want to know what Vrabel's got going on, because that looked like a scene. That's who I want to hang out with.
You're contradicting. This is the Mike Danger contradiction here. You hate the look at me stuff. That's the ultimate look at me. Where he knows, he hates the fact that the cameras are in his home. So his two sons, one looks like some, somebody that's dressing up for the movie, Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
The other guy looks like he's a teenage ninja.
I think there was a guy taking a dump in the background too.
The guy in the mirror, like, squatting.
Tremendous.
It's weird.
What about, can I get a verdict on Belichick letting his dog make the pick from his kitchen?
That's awesome. By the way, that was on Nantucket, though. They're like, oh, okay. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Okay. Remote island. Do they even have internet out there? How's he doing? I mean, is that just a prop? The computer set up with no internet hookup, and he's got his picks already made? They're just going to be all obscure D3 and D2 guys that we've never heard of?
Well, you've gone over these things. You haven't even gotten to the highlight of last night. What is Gettleman wearing a mask in his house for?
Okay. I said the same thing, and then I thought, okay, well, he's recovering from, or he's got lymphoma. So that's, a precautionary measure, I guess.
I guess. I mean, I saw also the excuse they rolled out is like the IT guy is in the house. Well, the IT guy shouldn't be in the house. You should learn this stuff yourself there. And if something goes wrong, then you pick up a good old landline. You say, hey, walk me through this. So, isn't that the whole point of the social distancing, is that you don't have the IT guy sitting at the ready in your house? And who was the player last night that had a big old party there? I thought you weren't supposed to have parties there in this day and age. So.
All right, so Jerry on the super yacht here, about to make his pick number 51 here, round two. The super yacht that Terry and Kim Pegula have the blueprints for, they're ready. The Cowboys have selected with 51. Trevon Diggs. So Stephon Diggs' brother is going to Dallas, corner out of Alabama. He will be a Dallas Cowboy going to the Cowboys with the 51st overall pick in the draft.
Okay, so the Rams, Eagles, and then followed by the Buffalo Bills. So the Rams, who are like the Bills here, that they have waited here to make their first. They should be zeroed in on who it is that they want. And I'm telling you, they're going to want a wide receiver. That would be my guess here. But Diggs, that would have been interesting had Diggs was there at 54. Would that, because corner, is that a luxury pick there for the Buffalo Bills? I mean, you can never.
I don't think it's a luxury pick. No, I don't think it's a luxury pick at all. In fact, if you have the opportunity to get him there, I think you take him there. And if he's as good as advertised, good luck throwing against the Buffalo Bills when you have Trey on one side and Diggs on the other. You know, and if you have that kind of talent remaining on the board, and you have guys that are graded that high, and you go corner, I think corner, I don't think you can have enough. And, I think the same goes for offensive line, and I think the same goes for defensive line and pass rushers. But, we'll see which direction the Bills go. I think, Gene, if I'm reading you correctly, and I think we've both kind of been this way for the last few weeks, I think we would be disappointed if they went something other than offense with the 54th pick.
Yeah, the window's open for Josh Allen right now. So this is the time that you give Allen every tool possible. And I think, tight end, I don't know if there's a tight end that will wow you at this point. To me, sure, Dobbins is still out there from Ohio State, but you can wait on running back to round three or round four. To me, getting the wide receiver right now would be really, really nice. So Mims, to me, would be the pick here at 54, and this would be another Rams pick is in, apparently. So depending on what the L.A. Rams here do, that will determine whether the wide receiver will be there at 54.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't think Philadelphia is a lock to pass on a wide receiver at 53. I mean, just because they took took one in round one doesn't mean they won't take one in round two.
Oh, sure.
And yeah. And if Mims is somebody that they're interested in, yeah, they could go ahead and scoop them right away, right out from under Buffalo if Buffalo does have desires to draft a wide receiver there at 54. All right, so the Rams making their selection now with pick number 52 in round two of the NFL draft. Commissioner Goodell making the announcement, talking about the beautiful facility that they're building there in Los Angeles. Yeah, that'll be empty for the first season because fans won't be allowed to go out. Cam Akers from Florida State, the running back. All right, so there's your replacement for Todd Gurley. And if you're the Rams, maybe you've learned a lesson here. Overspending on a running back with bad knees and running him into the ground, now you get it. Now you get a value in Cam Akers and hopefully a guy that can give you the kind of production that you were getting out of Todd Gurley in his prime.
By the way, one last thought on the Rams here. How did we not get the Rams uniforms at this point? I thought this was the week here. You want to sell gear and people get all excited and everything. You mean to tell me we're going to have hot uniform talk next week or the week after? How do the Rams uniforms not get unveiled yet?
I think the Rams uniforms haven't gotten unveiled yet because they've been just met with such skepticism over their logo. I don't know that their logo has been widely accepted. We didn't spend any time on this, and shame on us. The last time we spoke, Gino, Wednesday night, by then we had seen and gotten a glimpse of what I think are the best uniforms in the NFL. Oh, the Chargers. Give me more of the Chargers uniforms. That is a good-looking team.
Yeah, well, good-looking. Nobody be in the stands. And
they'll look good, though, Gene. They will look good.
Yeah, I guess, you know, what is the old Billy Crystal line, right? It's not how you feel, it's how you look. So that's, oh, by the way, the Eagles pick is in here. All right, so Eagles at 53, Bills at 54. They're moving right along here. I love this pace here in the second round.
Yeah,
so.
And if you're following Mel's big board, by the way, Mel looking a little bit more Count Chocolatey than normal this year, I've noticed. Maybe it's the quarantine, I'm not sure. J.K. Dobbins is the best available on his board as of right now.
Listen, if you're getting the widow's peaks in the hair, just, Mel, do what I did. Go home.
Go home.
All right, yeah.
Go the Walter White route.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. We all age. It's going to happen to every man in his life. And you make that decision.
And Gino, has the new style of Gene Battaglia been met with rave reviews?
Executive producer says, oh, you look like my brother. That's not a rave review.
Oh, ew.
No.
All right, the Eagles making a pick that might surprise some people. Jalen Hurts, quarterback out of Oklahoma, is a Philadelphia Eagle.
Okay, Carson. Wow, but they just gave Wentz that deal there. So, I mean, that's a fascinating pick as well. Some people were talking about Hurts going to Buffalo, and I could not see that because I wouldn't want Josh Allen actually looking over his shoulder. But as far as Carson Wentz looking over his shoulder, I mean, hell, he had a quarterback that many people in Philadelphia might say, hey, wait, why did we let go of a guy who won the Super Bowl for us? So Jalen Hurts going to Philadelphia, I don't know, Danger. I just look at a guy. He seems like to me that
he's a winner, Gene. He's a winner. And you could say, all right, maybe his NFL career goes the way of Tim Tebow, who was also a winner in college but didn't really have the look of an NFL-style quarterback. Hey, if anything for the Eagles, this pick gives you a little bit of insurance if Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. And I think that's been the knock. I mean, you made the investment, and I don't think there's any question. He's your franchise quarterback. But now, with Jalen Hurts, you've got somebody who's got a proven track record of winning, who can make plays. You know, in Doug Peterson's offense, I think Jalen Hurts could be productive.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to slow this down here for television because they're going to want to talk about Hurts and what he has done here, you know, in his career. This is a big pick here, here in the second round. Jalen Hurts going to Philadelphia, and is that going to create a quarterback controversy? I don't know. Assuming we have a preseason, I'm sure Hurts will look good, and Eagle fans will want to know. And the Bills pick is in, apparently.
Yes, so, it is. So, all right. So, which direction are you leaning here? If it's defense, you got to think it's Epineza out of Iowa. If they go offense, then it's potentially J.K. Dobbins, a running back in the second round. I'm not hating that. J.K. Dobbins you know, pretty productive running back while he was at Ohio State, so you could do a lot worse, and I would imagine that he and Devin Singletary would be a nice 1-2 tandem if they decided to go that route. And as far as wide receivers go at this position, you're still looking at Mims from Baylor is available.
Mims, and Ryan Talbot just pointed this out, Mims was one of the players the Bills met with. So, of all, and apparently there was like some conference call right after the trade. So, the Bills have had their eye on Mims here for a while. So, we'll see if the Bills try to fortify the defense here, or perhaps they go Ezra Cleveland. I mean, the offensive tackle out of Boise State who has risen up the boards. I mean, that could be that would really fortify that offensive line and create some great competition and really set the Bills up for years to come if they decide to go that route here in the second round.
I'm still kind of stunned by the Jalen Hurts pick by the Eagles there at 53. I mean, and you can kind of tell by looking at Hurts, he's enthusiastic. They got, you know, he got drafted in the second round, but you can just kind of imagine what's going through his head knowing in that split second that you're getting announced, you're going to Philadelphia. You aren't starting day one, and you're Jalen Hurts. You're a guy that's used to being the man. You're the guy. But also, you know, and I guess I don't want to contradict myself, but also a guy that showed he could be one hell of a teammate. I mean, he's the guy that gave way to Tua having that amazing second half on route to an Alabama national championship before transferring over to Oklahoma. So an interesting pick by the Philadelphia Eagles, and I you know, I can't wait to go on and see what Eagles Twitter looks like tonight because they're one of my favorite follows on Twitter. To see, you know, a team with as many needs as they have to go with Jalen Hurts in round two. I don't know.
Not to interrupt you, of course, the Bills pick has been in here for like 2 minutes because television needs to slow this down. We are getting comments from Booger McFarland. Danger, if we were doing the show right now, this would be Booger, get out of the way. Okay, Booger, I don't need to hear your thoughts on Hurts right now.
All right, so do you have the pick or do you not have the pick? Was the pick tipped to Eugene Battaglia?
I'm on the phone here with you, buddy.
Okay.
Can't look.
Yet, all right. So. I'm just making sure because, you know, we are.
Did you get it tipped?
No. I could very easily flip over to Twitter and see if there's something going on here.
Knowing that most people are going to listen to our natural reaction, let's resist the urge to look on Twitter here.
I know who it is. Yeah. I know who it is.
Oh, you already did.
I couldn't help myself.
You sound disappointed.
I couldn't help myself. Well,
okay, don't tell me. Don't tell me. All right. I hear the tone in your voice. It's Epenesa.
It's Iowa edge rusher AJ Epenesa.
You're kidding me. No, you're kidding me.
Iowa.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. They did that.
Yeah.
Ah.
Hey, you got a pass rusher. And can he be better than Trent Murphy? Can he be better than Shaq Lawson?
Okay. This is need that's terrible.
Can he be better than Mario Addison? Can he be better than the pass rushers you have?
He's not fast enough to play on the inside. He's not big enough to play. I'm sorry. Not big enough on the inside, not fast enough on the outside.
All right.
You're messing with me, aren't
no,
you?
No, I'm not. And the pick is live now, going live on TV. There you go, AJ Epenesa, defensive end of Iowa. We kind of knew, like, and we mentioned it earlier, Sean McDermott likes him some Iowa guys, doesn't he? I mean, corn-fed, blue-collar, hard-working guys, process guys. Let's see what this kid can do playing with the Buffalo Bills. AJ Epenesa, defensive end out of Iowa. The newest Buffalo Bill taken with the 54th overall pick in the NFL draft.
Well, I could tell by the tone of your voice when you.
The tone of my voice. I was dialed in on them bolstering up their offense even more than they already have. But you did need some help with your pass rush. I mean, it's been clear that the Bills' pass rush has not been. It's the kind of the weak point of that defense, right? Now you've committed to a couple of guys and you brought in some veterans and you really don't have any youth as far as pass rushers go. A lot of people had AJ Epenesa as a first round talent. So if that's the way Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott viewed him as, then we'll see. If he turns out to be a bust, well, that'll all be on the evaluation of Sean McDermott. This is supposed to be his specialty, right? And if he's a process guy and he fits the mold, you know, fair to be excited. Don't have to hate the pick, Gino. You do not have to hate that pick.
I could question the pick, though. I mean, to me, that is just, all right, we really we have a need here, and they do have a need, all right? They, but you could have swung for the fences there, I suppose, by going out and you know, signing somebody that was with Seattle, say, for instance, last year. But Epenesa right now, the fact that he's a tweener, to me, it just screams process, but I want assassins, you know, in the first, second, and third round here. So I'm not doing cartwheels with this pick, Dander. I'm just not there. And why is that? Because from day one, we just heard that, how does this guy fit falling down the boards here? I hope I'm wrong on this. I really hope I'm wrong. But to me, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm at a loss here for words. At least it's not the Josh Allen.
No, it's the reaction we were kind of expecting, Gene. I mean, you know, to get a reaction is what we want. I mean, you know, and, you know, shame on us. We do this all the time. We get locked in and we really hope that this is the direction that they go. Now, I think it is worth noting that two of the guys that we spent a lot of time talking about leading up to tonight, offensive guys that we spent talking about in Claypool and in KJ Hamler, both went just a few picks prior to the Bills at 54, and they must not have liked him enough to make that move up to go and get him, instead settling for AJ Epenesa, the pass rusher, defensive end out of Iowa. The newest Buffalo Bill, Gino.
Yeah, and they're showing the family right now. And this is all right. So, sure. I mean, and. The Bills defensively, can they be as good as they were last year? I guess. I mean, if Harrison Phillips comes back, then you can expect him to replace the you know, what Jordan Phillips left behind. Can Epenesa replace what you got out of Shaq Lawson? I guess.
Some instant reaction on Twitter to the Buffalo Bills selecting AJ Epenesa from Iowa. One of our favorites, Thor Nystrom from Roto World, chiming in. AJ Epenesa will be a double-digit sack guy in the NFL. Thor's word is gold, as far as I'm concerned. And by the way, Eagles Twitter hasn't disappointed me so far. Just at a quick glance, it's pretty clear that the Eagles still have doubts about Carson Wentz. Howie, I can say this on the podcast. Howie, what the fuck are you doing? Worst pick in Eagles history. So, you know, where you might have your doubts about the Bills and the Epenesa pick, not as divisive as the pick right before the Buffalo Bills and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, 6'6", 280. So is he fast enough to play the outside, though? That's where I'm wondering. 6'6", 280 on the inside. Where does he fit? Yeah, to me, he's a tweener. I mean, that's my fear with this. That sure, he had all this production in college, but a lot of good college players put up numbers. But how does he fit into the pros? And that's the reason why he didn't go in the first round, why he fell to the second round. But so. The Buffalo Bills, to me, they drafted on need here. They're not on the best player.
Well, if they did draft out of need, they certainly got a value. I think that is a value to get him at 54, a guy that a lot of people had as a first-round talent. And the idea that this guy is a leader, and he was a leader at Iowa, and he'll be that process guy. You just know that in year two, year three, this will be a guy that's more vocal than a lot of the guys that you have right now in that locker room. He could really, if he takes off, he could really be that kind of locker room leader kind of guy, as he was when he was a Hawkeye.
Well, I'll say this. I'm glad the Bills actually didn't go for the running back. Dobbins was sitting there, and he probably will continue to fall here, I would expect. So to me, I would expect the Bills to get a running back here, but running back in round two, there was nobody that to me was jumping out and saying, pick me here at pick 54. So at least the Bills are going to wait on that need. And as far as the wide receiver, I don't know if there's going to be somebody, you know, in the third round that, you know, the Bills can go out and draft. To me, at this point forward in this draft, you don't draft a need at all. You draft on what is the best player grade you have on the board.
All right, Gino, any closing thoughts on the pick by the Buffalo Bills at 54? Because we can resume the sports bar after hours on Monday and give a full recap and get to know all of the newest draft picks from the Buffalo Bills and react overall to what teams have done here in the draft.
Well, let me phrase it this way. Bills fans should be very happy because on this draft, your first-round pick is Stephon Diggs, okay? That's your first-round
pick.
And you don't have to worry about how does this guy fit in or how does he – he's your number one wide receiver. You don't have to worry about it. You're paying for it, but you have the cap room. To me, that's why this draft is a success overall. And if you frame it that way, that you just instantly upgraded the offense by making that trade for the first-round pick, and then here you're taking somebody that – who knows? He could pan out, Epinesa. So and what is coming up here, rounds 3, 4, and beyond? So there's a lot here to get to. So, no, it still is a very positive draft for the Buffalo Bills.
By the way, as we're speaking here at 55, the Baltimore Ravens selected J.K. Dobbins, the running back out of Ohio State that was available for the Buffalo Bills at 54. Remains to be seen what kind of a player Dobbins is in the pros. But, man, he was second in school history at Ohio State, a pretty good pedigree of running backs there at the Big Horseshoe.
My God. Oh, you pair him with Ingram and the quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Again.
Oh, the Ravens.
Teams that will continue to be scary include the Ravens, include the Chiefs. These are the teams that the Buffalo Bills are going to be looking up at. And at some point, you're going to have to match that level of talent, that level of intensity, and be able to hang with them. And you've shown that you can hang, but can you really close them out? We'll see. But the rich get richer with J.K. Dobbins becoming a Baltimore Raven with Lamar Jackson. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, if you thought – I remember thinking last offseason if Le'Veon Bell ended up in Baltimore rather than the Jets. Like, you imagine Le'Veon Bell with Lamar Jackson and what that offense looked like. We saw what that offense looked like. It wasn't Le'Veon Bell. It was with Mark Ingram. And now you add J.K. Dobbins into the mix. That offense is going to be just as scary as ever next season.
Yeah, and they got Queen in the first round. Baltimore is a big, big winner in this draft, no doubt.
All right, Gino, let's enjoy the rest of round two tonight, and let's reconvene for the Sports Bar After Hours on Monday. We'll fully recap everything that goes on here in the draft this week and for the Buffalo Bills and get reaction from around the league, what teams are doing, any standout picks that are made, any other news and notes from around the NFL, and maybe we'll do a little recap of The Last Dance as well, because we've got, I mean, it feels kind of nice getting into a little sports routine again, Gene. Four straight nights of sports. I mean, between the draft, and then we've got new episodes of The Last Dance tomorrow night. I'm digging it.
Yeah, maybe we get the NFL schedule at some point. So, yes, looking forward to things and looking forward to talking to you Monday, buddy.
You can enjoy the Sports Bar After Hours here at ESPNRochester.com, the radio.com app, or wherever you enjoy podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and listen anytime, anywhere, the radio.com app. Back again Monday with the Sports Bar After Hours. Thank you so much for listening. Here at ESPNRochester.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.